Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prasuta of the DVE Morning Show. You know, one of the things we talked about last week leading up to the game in Dallas against the Cowboys was wanting to see, an improvement in the performance. Did you get what you wanted? Did you see enough in that respect for you yesterday against the Cowboys in the 27-24 overtime loss?
No, absolutely not. And I think the way we framed that desire or that objective was that it was going to be a playoff-like game, not an elimination game per se, but a big one for both teams. And there was going to be ebb and flow, and maintaining poise and, you know, fighting your way through the entirety of it was going to go a long way toward deciding it. And you look at this fourth quarter, Bob, the Steelers, against seemingly all logical circumstances, ahead 24-17 in the fourth quarter, and then you get fumbled punt return, you get sack on third and four from the Dallas 37 with 3.5 left, you get a bouncing punt that's allowed to cost you 17 yards of field position because nobody ran up and caught it, you get first and 10 at the Pittsburgh 46 and a sack, second and 18 from the Pittsburgh 38 and a sack, then a 39-yard punt return against, and then finally an interception in overtime to the precipice of your goal line, and that's the ball game. But one mistake after another in the time when
good teams are finding ways to win.
Thank you, especially when they're playing good teams and they know it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. And so close to achieving so much on the road against what I think is a good football team. Also, I think the Cowboys are very much like the Steelers. They've had a bizarre year. They've had an injury-plagued year, and they've had an underachieving year from a record standpoint. But they were on their game yesterday, and the Steelers found a way to crawl back and take the game from them, and then they gave it back.
You know, in some senses, and I agree with you, it was better than San Diego, but, I mean, that's really not saying much. But to me, I agree with everything you said, and I'm going to try and add, you know, a couple of different elements to me that were disappointing, not only so much yesterday, but also it seems to me to be somewhat of a characteristic of this Steelers team. You know, the Cowboys are down, two nose tackles. The Steelers can't run the ball. The Cowboys allow their quarterback to get sacked and hit a lot. The Steelers can't get to the quarterback. You know, I don't understand, we saw that against San Diego as well. They're signing offensive linemen off the street. An obvious weakness to me was, you know, that offensive line's ability to protect the guy who was the key to the offense, because the Chargers and the Cowboys are the same in this sense. They need their quarterbacks to play well to win. And if you can harass them, beat them up, whatever, you can usually beat those teams. The Steelers were unable to do that.
That's probably most teams other than Minnesota, right?
Right. Yes. I mean, even like Miami, I mean, if you beat up their quarterback, they usually don't have enough. But, yes, all the teams other than Minnesota.
So that should probably be a focal point every week.
What, getting after the quarterback?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And it was a problem early in the year when the Steelers were struggling, and then during the winning streak in the middle portion of the season, it seemed like we were talking about how much better the D-line was playing and the linebackers, right?
Yes.
And now we're not.
And, you know, just to hone in on that for a second, I think that over the course of the season, the Steelers have not gotten what they have needed from their stars. Now, some of that is due to injury, and then the aftermath of that and trying to come back and all of that other stuff. I understand there are reasons why, but the fact is they have not gotten what they need from Harrison, Woodley, Timmons, and Polamalu. None of them, I don't think. I mean, Timmons is probably the best of the bunch in terms of giving you kind of what you expected, even though his splash plays are down. But the other guys, and again, I understand injuries, but you haven't gotten enough from them.
You're speaking just to the defense now?
Well, of those four people.
But when you say the stars?
Yes, okay. Just on the defense right now. Yes, okay. The stars on defense. You're not getting enough from those four guys. you know, offensively, I don't know.
About sums it up.
Yeah, the wide receivers baffle me sometimes, and I'm not hanging this on the receivers specifically, but I mean there just didn't seem to be very much good game awareness displayed by that particular unit down the stretch of the game. And I mean, are you on board with the bad play calling? No Heath Miller in the second half?
Let me say this about the play calling. When you don't execute, it's bad. Okay? It could be the greatest play. It could be Vince Lombardi diagramming a seal here and a seal here and running it up the alley. And if you don't create the seal here and the seal here, it's a 5-yard loss, and everybody thinks Paul Hornung's drunk again. All right? So that's the way play calling goes. But what really bothered me about the way the game ended yesterday is that the quarterback, to me, appeared as frustrated as I've ever seen him in his Steelers tenure. And I know a lot of that had to result from the pass he threw. And, hey, the first thing he said was, it's 100% on me. But he also, in answering questions, said that that plays were not called for Heath Miller and he wanted more no huddle. And he didn't – the play that they eventually – bypassed on the 30-yard Heath Miller touchdown wasn't going to work. That was a bad play call. He made it clear that he's not happy with the play calling or the way the operation's running, and I think that's a bad place to be
at this time of the season.
After 14 regular season games. I really don't care who's right.
Yeah.
I would like it to be more in concert, more harmonious. Don't you think?
Yeah, because I don't know that there is a right, because I think each side, you know, can argue their side and they can make some good points. But as you mentioned, I mean, that's the problem, I think, a lot of times is in this profession, and I'm not saying that that is what's happening here. I'm just using this as an example. There's too much interest in being right as opposed to doing what you need to do to win games. So, yes, I agree with you that this is not a good place to be 14 games into a regular season where – you'd have to describe it as disappointing, and yet you can still win the division.
Yeah, I think almost dysfunctional at this point.
Yes, good word. Better word than disappointing. Yes, in a lot of ways, dysfunctional.
Well, I'm looking at these standings. 9-7, three-way tie, Steelers win, right?
Yes.
How about this? The Jets have 7 losses, and Miami has 8. Let's just throw all the tie-breaking crap out with those two teams. If they both get to 9, which is possible –
no. Oh, you meant wins, not losses.
No, losses.
Well, you said one of them has 8.
Miami's 6-8, and the Jets are 6-7.
So when you're saying –
so let's assume they both get to 9 losses.
Okay.
And the Steelers end 8-8 with a win over the Bengals. And the Bengals end 8-8 with a loss to the Steelers. Baltimore wins a division, and Pittsburgh's a wild card, right?
I don't know. I'd have to put pencil to it.
Well, I mean, 8-8 versus 7-9.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, and then, right, and the then only other team would –
the only other 8-loss team would be the Bengals, and if you beat them twice, you win that, right?
Yeah.
So it's not even a got to win the last two. You got to win the last one and maybe the second one.
Yeah.
Maybe not. We could be talking about going into the playoffs off the heels of a 31-13 loss to Cleveland.
And having lost, what would that be then? 5 of the last 7 or 6 of the last 8?
Despite being swept by the Browns, the Steelers embark on their stalking of Lombardi number 7 with high hopes.
I'm
not trying to be funny here.
No, this is this is mathematically accurate as you're posing it. I'm listening to what you're saying, and yes.
I'm not a math major, but 8 losses are fewer than 9.
Yeah, yes, they are. And let me just throw this in, totally apropos.
That's like you have the number on the one side and then that – like sideways thing?
Yeah, greater than. Yeah. Totally apropos of nothing. I can't wait till they expand the playoffs to 16 teams.
Don't do that.
So the 4-8 teams can say, well, you know, if this happens and that happens.
Can we go on a tangent here for just a second?
Sure.
I understand the player safety initiative, and I'm all for player safety. But does the game have to be reinvented? Is it not were there not 95,000 people in that monstrosity of a stadium yesterday?
Right.
Are the TV ratings not pretty good?
Where
do you get to the point where you say, hey, this is a good thing. Let's just enjoy this for the next 50 years?
Lawyers. Lawyers. Lawyers, liability lawyers, league lawyers, 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 lawyers.
Every... Let's take out the kickoff. Let's put in eight more teams into the postseason. Let's just go to Canada, watch it up there for a while.
Okay, back to...
Sorry.
No, hey, I'm with you 100%. I truly am. But, yeah, it was, you know, you mentioned the spectacle yesterday. I mean, wow.
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Jerry, I'll give him this. You know, you want to mock it, but the production of that event was spectacular.
It's incredible. The first time we were down there for the Super Bowl, I thought it was too big, too much,
right?
Too distracting, too many bells and whistles, too circus-like. I really enjoyed it yesterday. Starting with just prior to our pregame show, I don't know, were you in the booth at this juncture? I can't remember if you had come in yet or not, but they blew the whistles or sounded the horns that the gates were opening.
Oh, yeah.
And there are standing room sections in the end zone levels, and people literally ran.
Sprinting to get
to the ledges where they could lean and be in the front row. And there are three levels of that. And so once the first level was filled, they're running up the stairs, then they're running up the next stairs.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? If you've and you're at camp all the time, I don't know if you're actually over there
at
1:30 when they open the gates, the autograph positions, and people sprint up the St. Vincent College Drive way there to get those prime spots near where the Steelers players come out.
But you think about that for a second. That is well before the game starts.
Oh yeah, not 90 minutes before kickoff at least.
So you run and you're standing on the. You have your little ledge to lean on there, the little shelf.
It's more like 2.5 hours before. Yeah.
You're there for the duration, right? Because there's a throng behind you.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to go to the bathroom and get that position back.
I'll bet you there's an honor among those people.
Oh, I bet there's none.
I bet
it's different people all the time, and it's every man for himself.
Okay. But I also
– I don't have the bright outlook on human nature that you do, so.
But you would have to go with a buddy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like being in line overnight for Springsteen tickets, you know. There has to be some honor among the group in order. Oh, that's different. Much higher class of people there.
It's a higher calling.
Yeah, okay. I mean.
Because the boss would want some honor. Jerry Jones just wants their money.
Do you have any hope for this team?
Sure.
You really still think that it can that it can turn? Because Cincinnati is a pretty good club. I mean, I'm not saying, but if you know, and you may be going there with no corners. I mean, and let me say this: I thought that those guys, you know, competed.
I don't think there's any question. They got stops.
And they get some credit for that, in my opinion.
Don't look at the yards.
Right, look at the yards, yeah.
Dallas gets the ball at its 12-yard line with 2:54 to play in a tie game and goes 3-and-out. Dallas gets the ball back again at the Pittsburgh 49-yard line with 47 seconds left. We're about one first down from not getting overtime.
Yeah.
Dallas goes 3-and-out. Game was on the line right there, and at that time your secondary consisted of Curtis Brown and Josh Victorian on the corners and Robert Golden playing nickelback.
Yeah.
Not the Canadian rock band, but the extra DB in the sub package. They got it done when they had to. And it's a tough situation. I get next man up and all that, but when you just throw these combinations out there and say perform, it's not that easy.
And you know, Romo's not a slappy.
No.
And he's at home. And you're not getting any pressure on them. Maybe that was why. I mean, do you think that there was a lot of extra attempt made to try and help those guys?
From what I was told, specifically Larry Foote and Ryan Clark after the game said that Dick LeBeau became more expansive in his playbook as the game went on. And they got to a point in the fourth quarter where both Foote and Clark thought they were just playing defense then and not restricting because. So I don't know if that changed anything or not. But they got better. I'll say this, they got better as the game went on.
Well, and they got better in terms of yardage allowed as the game went on. But I thought they also made some plays early on scoreboard downs. You know, Harrison stripped the ball. That was a big play.
Yeah, but that's not the young DBs.
No, but what I'm saying, though, is the unit kind of compensating for its obvious shortcomings.
Yeah.
And the DBs competed as well. I mean, I don't know, especially not with Victorian in my mind, Josh Victorian. I never sensed that petrified demeanor that I'm going to give as much a cushion as and keep backing up. I mean, he wasn't great. He wasn't Ike. He wasn't Cortez Allen. But he wasn't tissue paper either.
Are you anticipating no returns this week?
Injured people?
Yeah, between Taylor and Allen
know.
And
Lewis. I would hope Keenan Lewis can, play. I think he's going to be in some pain early, but, I don't know. I don't know what the hip is. It looked to me, though, he just landed on it. That could be just a pain thing.
Is it hip or groin?
I thought his was a hip. Maybe it turned into a groin after the game in terms of, but what was initially announced was a hip. I do think, though, you're right, that Mike Tomlin addressed it as a groin after the game. That could be tough, though, if it's a muscle pull or strain as opposed to just a, bruise or something like that. Cortez Allen, he has something similar, groin thing, if that's what Keenan Lewis's is. And, Ike was still in a boot yesterday.
Yes, he was.
So, I mean, I don't know anything except that. Ike was still in a boot.
But back to the question, is there any hope that they could beat the Bengals at home?
As currently constituted.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can say.
We're still waiting on that 38-point game from the offense, too. Any chance that shows up one of these times?
I don't know. I mean, at what point does, the potential to do something just cease to give you hope that can actually happen if it doesn't?
It's going to take one more game for me. This NFL season's been goofy enough. I'm not putting anything past anyone. When Colin Kaepernick can hang 41 on New England at New England in December. Because let me tell you, you could have asked 100 people before that game. There was zero respondents in the affirmative to that question.
Can Colin Kaepernick put up 41 against New England in New England in December?
And probably two of them would have been Jim Harbaugh and Colin Kaepernick. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think Jim Harbaugh went into the game plan meeting just before kickoff and said, after we let them score 28 unanswered points.
We're going to return the kickoff.
Yeah. Then we're gonna win this game.
Because the guy who's disgracing the number 24 worn by the great Ty Law, did you see that ole on the short pass to Crabtree?
I saw none of it.
Well, I just saw the highlights.
Yeah.
But after the long kickoff return, when it was 34-34, LaMichael James, the long kickoff return, then, I don't know, one or two plays later.
It was one.
Okay, Kaepernick just threw an 8-yard button hook to Crabtree, number 24, as I said, disgracing the jersey worn by the great Ty Law, Olaid. And he was in man coverage, and that was it. He just ran down the sideline and scored a touchdown.
No, it serves him right for not retiring the number 24 worn by the great Ty Law.
Obviously a serious deficiency.
Bears didn't retire Ditka's 89, Matt Space wearing it. Where are they going?
You get what you get. All right, as Mike Pursuta said, there is still hope, and he's going to have to convince me, though. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.